Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta live till the mic turns off, but now I'm here, I cannot go soft. I found myself when the rest got lost. I'll be the last one that they write off. I gotta live till the mic turns off, but now I'm here, I cannot go soft. I found myself when the rest got lost. I'll be the last one that they write off.
I know we're up and coming, but I feel as if we made it. Imagination is greater than public education. Quotations, I'm just saying, never let your dreams be taken. Take the hatred, build it up and bring it down as motivation. Success is waiting, so why ignore it when you can meet it? Tomorrow morning, they're yelling, where you going, soaring, open up the curtains, as of now, I'm loving what I'm doing, so it's worth it, I was told it wasn't meant to be, yeah, that's what they said to me, middle school a loser, now I'm standing with integrity, and they see, maybe he just may be, greater than he may seem, put together my team, I dream reality.
I gotta live till the mic turns off, and now I'm here, I cannot go soft. I found myself when the rest got lost. I'll be the last one that they write off. I gotta live till the mic turns off, but now I'm here, I cannot go soft. I found myself when the rest got lost. I'll be the last one that they write off.
I was born to kill hits, maybe I'll get filthy rich. Dirty money coming clean, premature I thought of it. Little boy with big dreams, I was just a bigger thinker. Step outside the box and maybe you can see the bigger picture. Bigger shows with bigger crowds, hold more people than allowed. Better get your ticket, cause in an hour they selling out. Everybody's hands up, know the song and yelling out. And even if you ain't a fan, you leave my show and love me now. People got dreams, don't ever chase it. Unused talent, go ahead and waste it. Live it, fit, now shine and live and face it. Forget past and try to erase it. I never have and I never will recede. If you understood my path, then you understood my need.
I gotta live till the mic turns off, but now I'm here, I cannot go soft. I found myself when the rest got lost. I'll be the last one that they write off. I gotta live till the mic turns off, but now I'm here, I cannot go soft. I found myself when the rest got lost. I'll be the last one that they write off.
Yeah, not the song I wanted, but Lindsay, thanks for joining us back here for another episode of The Right Way. With your I'm your host, Malik Wright. I'm here with my co-host, Alex, Brian, and Austin, and we are going to talk to you about the NFL Conference Championship, part of the playoffs. We got a good show on chat tonight. I'm looking forward to it. You guys there?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Right there.
All right, okay. So we had a lot of great NFL action this past week, guys, all right? Great NFL action. Not really. It was great offensive NFL action, I should say, from the Patriots and Falcons. So I want to get you guys' take on that game. Let's let Alex take it away.
As I said last week, I was predicting the Falcons were going to win, and they did, and not only did they win, but they won in a fashion that makes me very confident about my prediction of them winning the Super Bowl for next week, because the defense, which was their weaker of the two facets of football, was a little bit shaky throughout the year, but took Aaron Rodgers and basically rendered him useless. And I think that combined with the best offense in football is going to give them the win in 2 weeks and make them go home with some hardware.
I'm pretty excited. I'm kind of scared of the Falcons as a Patriots fan because they clearly have the best offense in the NFL. They completely shut down an inferior – I mean, the Packers are not a team that is talented enough, frankly, to get to the conference championship. They just have a quarterback who's playing out of his mind. And it's kind of a shame because they didn't get to the Super Bowl that everyone's kind of just going to forget this, like, 8 to 9 week run that Aaron Rodgers had, which was truly incredible. But the Packers lost to a superior team. The Steelers lost to a superior team. So I just wish it kind of would have been closer. Obviously, we all do. But this playoff has kind of not given us anything to really get excited about other than the Cowboys and Packers game. But I'm just looking forward to a couple weeks, you know. I'm excited.
Hey, Austin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Sorry, I was walking outside. Well, for one, I'd like to start off by saying I did call Julio Jones going off two touchdowns over 120 yards. I had no idea that he would do what he did, though. I mean, I didn't think it'd be in that fashion. I mean, he had a 70-yard touchdown that was absolutely ridiculous that I thought was going to get called back because I thought it might have been a penalty on them. But the bottom line is this. Atlanta is the best team right now in the entire NFL. And I will say it's close with New England because I think New England's defense is going to be a very tough challenge for Atlanta. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Atlanta will win. I believe that Atlanta will win by, I want to say, a touchdown. I know that right now the Patriots, I think, are six, they're either 2 or 6 point favorites over the Falcons. But I think that's just because, you know, whoever's in Vegas is a Patriots fan, I guess. But, I mean, I guess they didn't watch that game. Atlanta completely dismantled the entire Green Bay Packers. And if there was any questions about Atlanta's defense being able to compete with the best, I think this game over the weekend completely got rid of that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was shut. That entire team was shut down. There's not a thing they could have done. I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl, but I don't see anybody stopping Julio Jones. I don't see anybody stopping this entire Falcons team. I think the Falcons are going to take the Super Bowl this year.
Okay, great points. Great points. Now, where I stand at is I think that this week's football was very, very, very great. The reason why I say that is because Falcons proved a lot of people wrong, including myself. Nobody had the Falcons. I'm pretty sure you go back on anybody's prediction in the beginning of the year, nobody had the Atlanta Falcons going to the Super Bowl. Maybe New England.
No.
But definitely not the Atlanta Falcons. So,
I think that is exactly why I think Matt Ryan should win the MVP right there. Because I was looking at it, the NFC, they had the entire win percentages of the teams to win the NFC. Carolina was second. I believe Seattle was first. I could be wrong on that. But Atlanta was dead last. They were given a 1.3% chance to win the NFC, and they're here doing it. And personally, I think that Matt Ryan, he deserves the MVP. To take that Atlanta team that was a 500 team last year, take them to the Super Bowl this year, and the way that he is playing is out of this world. He is playing better than Aaron Rodgers. He is playing better than Tom Brady. He is playing like the best quarterback in the NFL right now, and I don't see how there's any chance and any doubt that he should not win the MVP.
Both statements right there, Austin. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go against you because, like I said, you clearly and carefully predicted Julio Jones would go over 150 yards and he said two touchdowns, too. Well, guess what? He did that. So, with that being said, where I stand is I think this week's football was very, very great for Matt Ryan and, just that entire Atlanta organization. I said the first, I felt like there was something special in the midst going on in Atlanta. And you had to be blind as a sports fan, as an NFL fan, to not have felt the same thing. And just for that reason alone, I'm going to say that this – you know, I'm not going to even get there, right, because we're going to discuss that later on in the show. But the Atlanta Falcons proved a lot of people wrong. Now, I don't know what happened. I've been sitting around trying to understand exactly what took place, where was the Green Bay Packers that we saw throughout the season. And something I realized, you know, I just think it caught up to them. I think this magical run, you know, Brian alluded to it earlier, that they were on, earlier, you know, on this, I think it was like an 8 or 7 game win streak or something like that, along those lines. It was amazing. But the fact of the matter is, Packers had one active running back in Christian Michael, you know, actually playing running back. They had their fullback in Ripkowski, whatever his first name is. Ripkowski playing running back, fullback. And we saw what happened when he got a nice carry, he fumbled the ball. You know, I think the Packers' lack of depth caught up to them. I think it caught up to them, and I think it. I think there's something to be, you know, pretty much said. But anyway, not taking away from anything Aaron Rodgers did this season, I think we're going to be in for a great Super Bowl. But like I predicted on the show last week, I said the Pittsburgh Steelers are not who we thought they were. They aren't the team that everybody thinks they are. And I said I saw them losing by confession. I said that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are like the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to the conference championship are like the Bengals when it comes to the wild card. They can't get
chokers.
It done when it comes down to face. When you have to face the top of the NFL, you know what I mean? You know, the top of the AFC, and whether that be Denver or New England or whatever the case may be, I just always feel like Pittsburgh is always on the cusp. And it goes back to what I said before. Some people may not agree with me, but I'm going to say it. I don't care. Mike Tomlin is not that good of a coach. I've been saying it, and I will continue to say it. Tomlin is an overrated NFL head coach. When he won a Super Bowl, that was Bill Cowher's team. Okay? That is exactly why I think they returned to the promised land one more time, and that was against the Packers, and they lost. And that, mind you, that was still Bill Cowher's team. Like, the nucleus of it was still together. That is the exact reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers are not, you know, have not returned since then. And I think it's something to be said for them. I think you take, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the Pittsburgh Steelers football team, but I think we give way too much credit to Mike Tomlin. I think these NFL experts, they give too much credit to Mike Tomlin. Not taking anything away from the guy. It's just how I feel. I don't think he's a good NFL coach. I think I'm going to go out on a limb. I think Marvin Lewis is the better head coach than him. I just think that.
Oh, no.
No. I will say that. And the reason why I can make that statement is because when it comes to lack of control with his players, yeah, I can make that statement. His players have lack of control. That's exactly why Le'Veon Bell, although he may be the best running back in the NFL, he was caught with weak possession. If you lay the groundwork for your football team, the only player you can look at on the Cincinnati Bengals roster right now and say they get in trouble off the field is the man I've been saying they should cut, Adam Jones. That is the only man you can look at on the Cincinnati Bengals roster right now that actually you can definitively say has off-the-field issues. Other than that, there's nobody else. You can say perfect maybe on the field but not off the field. Now, when you want to talk about on the field and off the field, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the epitome of the NFL. Le'Veon Bell, Weedhead, yeah, I said it, Le'Veon Bell, and we go down to if we want to talk about what they do on the field, you know, some of their players' antics. I think David DeCastro is one of the dirtiest NFL players. It gets overlooked because he's an offensive guard, so no one thinks so. I went totally off topic there. I'm sorry. But I just think the Pittsburgh Steelers get way too much credit than they actually deserve. Right down to, like, look at that. Antonio Brown's talking about some Facebook promoted him to do that. You know, the whole Facebook chance. I mean, did you hear the way he was talking about the New England Patriots? I mean, I'm not saying that goes on in any and every NFL locker room, but come on now, it shows the class of the organization itself. That's just my personal opinion. I don't want to get into an argument about it. I'm just saying that's just how I feel about it. I think Pittsburgh Steelers get overlooked. Look, right even down to Joey Porter, public drunkenness, and he's still allowed to be on the NFL, be the linebacker coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers on the sideline for the Pittsburgh Steelers. My point has been proven consistently. The Pittsburgh Steelers have more dirty players on their roster than any other team in the NFL, and that's just how I think. And I think their lack of discipline on and off the field, it shows. That's all I'll say. Any comments on that?
Yeah, I don't know
I don't get it. Marvin Lewis hasn't won a playoff game. The Steelers consistently win playoff games every season. The Steelers were beaten soundly by a much better football team. And Mike Tomlin is not an amazing head coach, but he is a very good head coach. And he was beaten by the greatest coach ever. And he was outcoached. It was obvious that he was outcoached.
Brian, you guys cannot get that stigma of he's the greatest coach ever. He may be the best coach in the modern era. Right
No. Bill Belichick is the best coach to ever coach in the NFL. If he wins the Super Bowl, as many Super Bowl appearances that they've had underneath him and Brady, I think it's been six. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Very, very, very so, but I still think...
Well, Malik,
I still
in your book, you think
Marvin
Lewis is better than... So...
You said what?
In your eyes, Marvin Lewis is a better... In your eyes, Marvin Lewis is a better head coach than Mike Tomlin. So, I mean...
Yeah, I can't agree with that one either, though, because I think... How many Super Bowl appearances has Marvin Lewis had, or how many conference championships
have they had?
I'm talking about...
When it comes, okay, maybe that was a bad statement to make, but I'm talking about when it comes down to team discipline. That's just my opinion. You can agree to exactly. We're all entitled to our opinion and agree to disagree. That's just my opinion. I don't think Mike Tomlin was a very good head coach. I think he's overrated. He's not bad, but he's an overrated football coach. Maybe that's the best term I should have used. He's overrated.
I'm a lot more surprised that Marvin Lewis still has his job. I mean, compared to Mike Tomlin, I think Mike Tomlin's head over heels a better coach than Marvin Lewis, and I'm surprised that the Bengals didn't get rid of him earlier this year. But like I did say last week, though, I predicted the Patriots beating this game and winning because the Steelers, if you cannot score touchdowns against the Patriots, you won't win. You can't keep relying on field goals. They get stood up on the goal line, and, I mean, that's what's going to happen when you play a good team like that. Not much you can do. Not much coaching is going to help you against them Patriots.
Here's what I'll say. I don't think Mike Tomlin is necessarily overrated, even though he did a terrible job coaching on Sunday. I don't think he's overrated. I think the Steelers team was overrated all season. I think they relied too much on those three superstars. And beyond those three superstars, they're really, frankly, just an average team. And when you take a team and you bring them into Foxborough, Belichick is what he's going to do is take away your biggest superstars. Obviously, Lev Bell getting hurt was a huge help for the Patriots. But if Lev Bell's in the game, the Patriots are going to do their best and do what they do better than everyone else in the league, and that's take away your best players. And beyond that, the Steelers are just a basic average football team, and that's why they lost. Not
right,
because necessarily
of
Mike
Tomlin. Let's hear what Alex got to say. I'm tired of hearing from the Patriots.
To address the three points that have been brought up in the last few minutes. One, I think Mike Tomlin's a good football coach. I wouldn't say that he's anything too special. I wouldn't say he's great. I wouldn't say anything like that. He did kind of ride off Bill Cowher's coattails, but he did still steer the ship, and he got to give him some credit for that. As far as Marvin Lewis goes, I think he's a very good football coach, but I think it's time for the Bengals to try something new because if something is broke, you got to fix it. And I just think it's time to try again. As far as Bill Belichick being the greatest coach of all time, not even close. Not even close. No one is better coached ever than Don Shula. Ever. Never ever. Don Shula was absolutely amazing. Don Shula was consistently a winner, and he won across multiple different teams, won the Baltimore Colts and the Miami Dolphins for who knows how long. He won for 25 years in the Miami Dolphins organization. And Bill Belichick has never consistently won without a quarterback named Tom Brady. And if you can't win unless you have a quarterback named Tom Brady, then you can never call yourself the greatest of all time. Bill Belichick was on the chopping block before Tom Brady got the starting job over Drew Bledsoe. Bill Belichick had one winning season before he got to the Patriots in his whole career. And he's put together a good team. He's a very smart football coach. One of the best defensive minds of all time. Yes. But greatest coach ever? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Come on, Brian. Let's make an argument. Come on, I want to hear it.
Are we gonna really have this argument?
Yeah, we're going to have this argument. You brought it
up. I mean, I don't know how you could have an argument here when Don Shirley won 328 games and Bill Belichick won 237.
Well, I mean, Don Shirley coached longer.
Jerry.
But if we're going to, I mean, look, Don Shula had the luxury of being able to keep his players regardless of what they wanted to do. There was no free agency. And, yes, you can say that Bill Belichick had a hard time with the Cleveland Browns as a young coach, as lots of young coaches.
It doesn't matter. You said he's the greatest coach. That's what you said.
And right now, at this moment, after going to 7 Super Bowls, and winning 4.
And what did I say?
In the era
and
of,
what did I say?
In the era
and
of
what did I say? I said in the modern day
so
era.
Whoa, time out. Did I finish what I had to say?
No, you did.
No,
but
I
shut
didn't.
Down what I said.
But I wasn't right. finished talking.
I'm not
so
even
talk.
A Patriot
so
fan.
So
I'm a Carolina Patriot
fan. I mean, Malik, if you want to repeat what you had to say, just go ahead and repeat what you had to say. And I'll have a rebuttal, but just don't interrupt me next time when I do have a rebuttal. So go, just say what. Remind me what you had to say, because I don't know what you're referring to.
I said Bill Belichick was the best coach of our in our modern day era. That's what I said, and you shot it down when I said that. You said ever. That's what you said.
Who's better? Who's better? All time.
Who's better? What? Don
Malik
Shula.
Malik, you.
I mean, I think Don Shula, in my opinion.
How many Super Bowls? Or how many Super Bowls has Don Shula won?
He won two,
and,
right?
And when
two
Don
Super Bowls
Shula
and an NFL
have,
championship.
So when he did have a Hall of Fame quarterback, for however many years he had Dan Marino, how many Super Bowls did he win? When
Zero.
He did have, when there was free agency. And he had Dan Marino. How many Super Bowls did he win?
He didn't win
he in
Dan
a better time. Better league.
It was a better league, which is a whole nother discussion that I would take like hours that we don't really need to have.
The AFC,
so,
it's indisputable. The AFC has been dominated by the same three quarterbacks for the last however many years. Since
yes,
the Patriots won
the
Super Bowl in 2001, no one else besides Manning, Brady, and Roethlisberger have been to the Super Bowl from the AFC besides Flacco in 2012. The AFC
yep.
is being dominated.
And
other
Rich
teams
Gannon.
Aren't competitive. It's a much worse league than it was.
Rich Gannon also. You know,
now, with that being said, I'm going to switch gears. All right.
Real quick, I'm a Carolina fan. I'm a Carolina Panther fan. I cannot stand the New England Patriots. I don't like anything about the Patriots. But I'm not going to sit here and let my hate for the Patriots sit here and say that, you know, that doesn't make Bill Belichick great or Brady. Bill Belichick is great not just because he wins, but he has a system which you can throw any player in any position and then be successful. Look at Chris Hogan. This guy played football for 1 year at the University of Buffalo, played lacrosse for 4. As a walk-on, gets cut by 4 NFL teams and comes and sets a career record or a postseason record for the Patriots for receiving yards and touchdowns. The Patriots are good, and Belichick is he is the greatest coach of this era, and he will go down without a doubt as the greatest football coach in NFL history, not only because of the titles that he has and the championships that he has won and will win, but because of what he can do when he is given a lot or when he is given a little. When Brady went down, people were already starting to say, you know, the Patriots, what are they going to do? But you have Belichick, who is the mastermind of everything. You throw a backup in there.
Wait, they didn't make the playoffs when Brady went down.
Huh?
They went 11-5. I mean,
and didn't
I mean
make
normally
playoff.
11-5 is a solid playoff, team. I mean, in what years
absolutely.
Is 11-5?
If you don't make the playoffs, it doesn't really matter.
And honestly, this is the one thing that always been said about the Patriots is that Belichick understands it's not the best 53, it's the right 53. It's
exactly.
the right team to have.
Exactly.
That's why Belichick's Patriots are always good year in and year out. They have the
yep.
mainstay. They have Brady. They have Belichick. And beyond that, it's a revolving door of cast members around those two guys that come in and all of a sudden – play at a level that they have never played at in their careers. And you know why? Because they fit in the system that Bill Belichick has created. And that's why he's been so successful over the past 15, 16 years.
But Brian, can I say one thing, please?
What's that?
And this is going to end the argument right here because we really got to go on another topic. Bill Belichick, in my eyes, cannot go down as the greatest football head coach for one reason and one reason. He's the only football coach in our modern day era, not only but to be known as a cheater as well. So I think it's very, very hard. Brian, you can say, oh, you can be upset, cannot agree. But the fact of the matter is, that's what's on paper. That's what the Patriots are known for as well, as being cheaters. It's what you guys did. I'm not taking anything away at all from Brady and him being good, and I'm not even saying Bill Belichick's system is not good. But if you ask the average NFL football fan what they think of Bill Belichick, they will say he's a cheater. The reason how I know this is because I talk to NFL football fans almost every single day of the week. We have conversations, whether it's through my email, inboxing me on Twitter. By the way, you can follow us at The Right Way at BSB on Twitter. These are conversations that are always brought up. You may not agree, and I wouldn't expect you to because you're biased and you're a Patriots fan. And that's how most Patriots fans are, biased.
No, man.
But when you talk about But when you talk about Bill Belichick, and you are, but when you talk about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they may very well go down as the best tandem. They will. But they will also go down as they had to cheat to do it. And that's just how I feel about that. But, guys, I want to switch gears here to the Super Bowl preview. That brings us to our next topic. Who do we think will win the Super Bowl? So I'm gonna let Alex take it away. Hello.
What?
Alex.
I didn't catch that last part. I think we had some interference.
Yeah, I was saying we're gonna let you take it away. We're gonna talk about the Super Bowl preview. Who do you see as winning to win this?
Oh. All right. I figured out my prediction last night when one of my friends asked me. I had it as 31-27 Falcons.
So you have it as what? Sorry, say that again.
31-27 Falcons.
Okay.
I haven't really thought about it. I guess to me, kind of comes down to. I'm gonna try to explain it. To me, it kind of comes down to, like we just discussed the coaches. I'm gonna take Belichick over Dan Quinn, even though I think the Falcons have one of the best offenses ever. I just think New England finds ways to take away, or not take, not even not just not just like take away necessarily, but at least you know. Sort of limit to an extent your best player. So I guess I have the Patriots winning. I'll go 34-28 or 34-30. That sounds better. Yeah.
You wouldn't expect it any other way, Brian. Austin, what's your win to take?
I take Atlanta as a touchdown over. I haven't had the scribe and thought about the score yet either, like you were saying. I do think Atlanta will be a touchdown favorite to me over the Patriots.
I think, without a shadow of a doubt, I said it before, and I'll say it again. The Atlanta Falcons are on to something special. And as much as I don't want to bet against Tom Cheetah Brady, as much as I don't want to bet against Tom Brady or the Patriots, because I know what they can do, I think you can't deny when something special and miraculous is happening. So I'm picking the Atlanta Falcons to win this game. It'll be a very, very close game. I see it being somewhere along the lines of 21-17. That's where I'm going. I think Atlanta wins this game, and I think they shocked the entire NFL. And I think is there something special about when teams go on these magical runs, like how I felt with the Giants? And the Giants went on both runs against the New England Patriots. We all know this. The New England Patriots just can't beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, and I just think that the Atlanta Falcons are on to something similar as to what the Giants were on. So it should be interesting. Nonetheless, it should be an interesting Super Bowl. 21-24-17, stuff around that. But I see the Patriots going only 17 points. And not having Gronkowski can hurt, especially for a game of this magnitude. But with that being said, guys, let's talk about the importance of the Pro Bowl. You know, that's just a topic that I want to get to. I had people ask me, should there be a Pro Bowl? That question gets posed every single year. I mean, should there or shouldn't there be a Pro Bowl? I think it's kind of hard to just do away with something like that. I mean, it's a prestige, an honor. So, Alex, what's your take on that? On the Pro Bowl? How important is the Pro Bowl?
Honestly, well, there's two different types of things and honors in the NFL. There's being named to the All-Pro team, and there's being named to the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is whatever they do, online voting. I can't even follow it. They change it so many times. The All-Pro team is by the Associated Press and other organizations, the writers and stuff. That's an honor. Being named to the Pro Bowl, while it's great, and being a 10-time Pro Bowler is awesome. Being a 10-time All-Pro is even better. But as far as the Pro Bowl goes, it's great marketing. It's awful to watch. But, I mean, it's football in the week where there's no football. It's something to do. It's something to see the players. They have a lot of fun with it. And, I mean, I think they should move it back to Hawaii every year. I think it should be permanently in Hawaii. That was kind of the fun of it. That and, like, the skills challenges they used to do. Make it – they should – which is good. I think they should kind of, like, model it off of MLB's All-Star Weekend. Maybe even have, like, an alumni flag football game of, like, old-timers and celebrities in it, like MLB does with the softball game. And kind of model it, because MLB really runs All-Star Weekend great. And I think it should kind of be like an All-Star Weekend, even though it's after the season and it kind of means nothing and they don't really play hard. I think that would be the best for it, just for the fans. But, I mean, we're all going to be honest. We're all going to probably turn it on and watch a little bit of it and whatever. What I'm really interested in this weekend, though, is Saturday night, the awards show. See who wins MVP, see who wins all that stuff, because there are a few people vying for it. But as far as the Pro Bowl goes, I wouldn't miss it if they got rid of it, but I think they should do a lot more with it.
I'm not gonna lie. When the Pro Bowl comes every year, I watched it about like 5 or 6 times max. I don't even like check out the Pro Bowl, but they did bring that. They do have like the celebrity flag game or whatever. They brought all that stuff into the weekend, and I think when it comes to like All-Star games and All-Star weekends, I feel like the NBA's really got it on lock. I feel like the NBA's got the best like All-Star weekend, but the Pro Bowl is really just for the players. The Pro Bowl is just like just for the players to go out and have fun and not to like take it seriously. And they see all the players that they like, and it's like a big honor for them. And I feel like when we go back and look at a player's career, yeah, obviously it's great to be an All-Pro, but not everyone gets to be an All-Pro. So saying some of the 15 or 12 or 9 or 8 or whatever time Pro Bowler, it's like kind of special for these guys. And I know some of them, lots of them don't even show up if they lose. So I feel like, first of all, I feel like, not to go off on a separate tangent, but I feel like the Super Bowl should be a week after the championship game, just because I don't like the 2 weeks of hype, and it really bothers me. But, and I do agree that the Pro Bowl should stay in Hawaii. I don't like it being in Orlando or wherever it is. But, and I'm happy that they brought back the skills challenge. But I, honestly, me as a fan, not as a player, I wouldn't really care if they got rid of it. I know we don't even watch it anyway. So, I don't know.
Austin, what's your take?
Well, if I'm a player, I don't care for the Pro Bowl now because, I mean, Hawaii was the whole reason I think the players loved it. It's a free vacation to Hawaii. If you're a fan in the States, I think it's a great chance to get to go and see all of the big names in the NFL and go just enjoy time down there to watch the game. The Pro Bowl, to me, though, I don't really care for it. If it's on, yay. If it's not, yay. I mean, I watch something else. I watch the highlights on ESPN. The Super Bowl is really,
yeah, really
all that I'm really concerned with. I mean, the Pro Bowl, it's there if you want to watch it. To me, it's just, hey, I'm like baseball where you have the home run derby and stuff like that where you kind of want to watch. The Pro Bowl is just like, eh, yay, it's football, but it's not really football because they have rules that are completely different than the regular game. I don't really care. I mean, to me, it's just like a pickup game where the guys are just having fun, so it's great for the players, but I don't really care for it. I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree with you guys. I understand where all you guys come up pretty much with. I think the Pro Bowl is a huge honor, and I think I just think it is well. It lacks seriousness, I guess, as an NBA All Star game or that type of sort. But I don't know. I think you can't get eliminate something like that. I mean, it does. I mean, not everybody can win NFL awards, but it does point out the fact of that you had a standout year and not a year like the regular athlete or NFL. So I think the Pro Bowl definitely needs to be kept. And I have to say that it always keeps my attention because it doesn't. But it is awesome for to see this, you know, this team NFL players play together like never before. And I think that's been bringing back the AFC and NFC. Kind of versing each other is still kind of help, I guess, for seriousness. But we should see. With that being said, I want to kind of switch gears here, guys. You guys know I always have to do this because, as everybody knows, I cover the Bengals for Back Sports Page. So this is the part of the show where we do State of the Cincinnati Bengals. So now with the state of the Cincinnati Bengals, just only two quick points. I mean, there's nothing really serious happening, as you would expect, seeing as we're not at the playoffs or headed to the Super Bowl. So, with that being said, two things to point out. Did anybody see Pac-Man Jones' arrest video got released?
Was it TMZ?
I believe so.
Oh, that means it's over. If you're an NFL player and you're on TMZ getting arrested, your career is over. Just ask for advice.
I'm just saying his release video, the release of him getting arrested, the video of him getting arrested, you know, a few weeks back, it finally released like today.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to a cop, and I quote Adam Jones, "I hope you die." It's kind of disturbing because, I mean, we all can say this and that about, you know, it could be a matter of he said she said when it comes to, you know, a player, NFL athlete getting arrested, but when there's actual video evidence of you telling a police officer, "I hope you die," I think this should be the end of Adam Jones' career. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've said it, and I continue to say it. Cut that man. He's 33 years old, and he hasn't learned his lesson yet. Cut him. End of it. It's over. Anybody else oppose that, or have anything else to add on that to that?
No. Not really.
Nothing, Alex? All right, so the second part, is I want to say congratulations to Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton. He was just, he replaced Tom Brady in the Pro Bowl. So I think it's well-deserved, you know. I mean, why don't they keep it fighting this guy, Tom Brady? I mean, I understand he's great. I understand he's the best and all that stuff like that. But the guy never goes to a Pro Bowl. Never. Even if he's not playing the Super Bowl, he never goes to the Pro Bowl. Why should they keep inviting him? Every year he declines it. But that's a whole argument, another argument in itself, guys. What do you guys think? Should they continue to invite Tom Brady to the Pro Bowl or what? Because this guy keeps...
Well, it's not that... Well, they vote him in, so... And if you get voted in, like, I guess you can get invited. And he doesn't play. He hasn't played since, like, 06 or something. I mean, like, he just like,
I mean, I know that. That's why I'm making a reference to him.
Yeah.
Should they still vote him?
Well, yeah, I mean,
if he gets enough votes, should he still be asked to come if you know what his answer is going to be? I mean...
Yeah, why not? I mean, it doesn't matter. It's kind of disrespectful not to,
anyway.
So... Since everyone else has been invited.
Bro, that'd be kind of
anyway.
Funny to see somebody post on the polls, vote for your favorite quarterback except for Tom Brady.
Right?
Oh, then I'm not voting.
Yeah, so with that being said, I'm now going to switch gears here to the NBA. The NBA. All right,
yes.
Guys.
Finally.
So,
thank
Alex,
God.
Are you there? Alex, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, it's not.
All right. Judge, just want to make sure you were still with us, buddy. But long story short, just 2 points about the NBA tonight. And I guess it's ask the first question. Did anybody see the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Golden State Warriors?
Yes, all 4 quarters.
Unfortunately, I did.
So this poses my next question. Is Russell Westbrook making a bigger deal about KD leaving than warranted? I want to let Alex take this off. We're going to go to Alex, Brian, Austin, and Nick.
I think, honestly, it's just kind of – that's how he's dealing with it. That's his style. I mean, if KD left and I was Westbrook, I would be – but some players are more outspoken, some players aren't. I mean, if Kawhi Leonard was in that position, he probably wouldn't say anything. Tim Duncan was in that position, he wouldn't say anything. But if LeBron was in that position, he would be saying stuff. So it's just kind of the player's style. But what really matters, and no matter what happens off the court, what really matters is what happens on the court. And on the court, it almost looks like he doesn't miss Durant at all. So... that's his real statement.
I think that the media has made it such a big deal. I think Russ was really hurt in the beginning. And I think that he sort of, after the media made such a frenzy out of it, I think he kind of is just playing into it. Because there's, like, the storylines in the NBA are kind of just like, oh, well, the Warriors and the Cavs are going to play in the finals. So that's about it. And this has kind of become an added layer to the story. And we all know the Thunder aren't going to win the championship. They're probably not going to get out of the first round. So this is kind of just Russ being Russ. Like Alex said, this is just him being the type of player that he is. And I think that he's the type of player that uses any type of motivation to make him play with any more fire. And that's sort of what's been fueling this great season. And, I mean, you say that he hasn't missed Russ. I mean, KD, and to an extent, he hasn't, personally. But the team, that team is bad. Like, that team is absolute garbage. They're terrible to watch, besides Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, it's a tricky situation. Like, I kind of feel bad for him, because if I was in the same situation, I'd be so betrayed. But it's just the nature of the game. And I think that Russ is handling it the way you would think a guy like Russell Westbrook would handle it, with as much fire and energy as he handles everything else.
Well, Russ definitely, and I was watching ESPN about this too, and just from watching how he is and how he acts off and on the court, he's not the type of guy to sit there and wear his heart on his sleeve like they were saying. Him and KD were like brothers. He tried and he begged for KD to stay, and when KD left, it was like the ultimate slap in the face to Russ, because KD's like, you know what, instead of trying to build something here, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, if you can't beat him, join him, and that's I'm out. And Russell Westbrook, I agree with what Alex said. Had this been like Kawhi or somebody else, they'd have been like, okay, cool, you want to leave. But Russell Westbrook, the explosiveness that he shows on the court, that's how he is as a person, too. He's pissed off still. I personally, I don't think he should still be. I think he should just let it go and focus on trying to I was gonna say try and win a championship, but I don't see that ever happening with the Thunder. They are. I mean, it's like it is awful. It is like Russell. This is the Oklahoma City Russell Westbrooks. That's it. The games are not fun to watch. When he's on the court or when he's on the bench, you change the channel because you're like, yeah, okay, well, just look. Let's look at Enes Kanter just miss some buckets or something. It's awful.
I do agree
with Alex. Had this been anybody else, I don't think they would have really cared. But the fiery type of personality that Russell Westbrook has, there's not a chance that he was going to let this go anytime soon. And I don't think that he misses KD one bit. If he missed KD, he'd be trying to talk to him. He wants nothing to do with KD. And real quick, I hope we get to talk about this later, though. I think that the way that he's acting and the points that he's throwing up, what he's averaging, I don't see how there's any doubt. One, that he's not the MVP, and two, that he should have definitely been a starter in the All-Star game.
All right, my take on it is I understand where Russell Westbrook is coming from, him being very, very upset that Kevin Durant left OKC to basically, he basically tried to buy himself a championship, and I think it was one of the weakest moves from a professional athlete I've ever seen. So I can understand where, I mean, you were one play away from beating the exact team you left to go join. So I can understand where Russell Westbrook is upset with KD about. Second, I think that it's a little bit of classlessness on Russell Westbrook's part, how he basically said, don't say, I'm not going to say the words on here what he said, but he basically said what he said on the line.
Mama.
Don't say it was something that, please, you guys can put two and two together. You can't act like that as a professional athlete, especially when you know all cameras. I mean, maybe you can act like that, but especially when you know all cameras are on, it's just unprofessional. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but, he's taking a lot of shots at KD. I mean, maybe a little too much. I mean, you see, came out with a commercial earlier in the year of him dancing to, with a song in the background saying, now I do what I want. We all know it's taking shots at KD. I mean, I think this thing has to work itself out. So that leads me to our next question is, do we think that this relationship can be repaired?
I think so.
We're talking about two guys.
I mean, honestly, words are words, and that's really all they are. And sometimes words can like bother people and stuff. But when it comes down to it, you play basketball with someone for that much time in your life. You'll at the end of the day, you'll look back on it and laugh about all this, most likely. Maybe not next week, maybe not next year, but eventually, this will just be like a funny moment for them.
It'll be a long time, like it'll be a really long time. It's one of those interesting dynamics about the All-Star game too. I'm really excited about the All-Star game because A, we might get two players from the Jazz making it, but that's just me. It's like fun to see. Like I don't know how they're gonna handle this Russ KD situation, and it's kind of funny that Russ didn't start, even though he did deserve to start clearly. And he won't win the MVP, going to Austin's point, but he it's just kind of. I don't think they'll be okay for a long time. I really don't. Because, honestly, they devoted so much time together to win a championship. Like, this is their occupation. This is their whole life. Their whole life was practically centered around, we have to do what we can to win a championship together, and we're going to push each other and push our teams to heights that they can never reach without us. And they were that close. They were a hair away. They were one fourth quarter performance away in game 6 of the Western Conference Finals from actually beating the greatest regular season team in the history of the NBA. And for Kevin Durant to say, to basically spit in everything that they had worked for together and that they had accomplished together and all the promise that they had. I think that's hard for Russ. I think that, I mean, that would be hard for anyone, really. And it would take a long time for anyone to get over it, especially the way it was handled, the way that Kevin Durant didn't even talk to him or bring it up to him until afterwards. He sent him a quick little text. And sports is almost all emotional. It's just such an emotional thing, just sports. And even though there's a lot that goes into it that's not, I think that there's no one who in the world, in the NBA, who plays with as much emotion, or more emotion, I should say, than Russell Westbrook. And I feel like he's felt this way about this Kevin Durant situation for a long time. And I think he's going to feel that way for an even longer time. Because, I mean, that just hurts for someone to just spit in your face like that.
Yeah, I agree. This is exactly how I look at this situation. This is how Russell Westbrook looks at it. You're dating this girl for a long time. You guys are so happy. And then all of a sudden she's just like, well, this man, you know what? He's got a lot more. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. You're going to hold a grudge.
Yeah,
you're not going to you're going to be mad for a while. You're not going to be like next day, you know what? Hey, let's go get, you know, muffins together or something. I mean, you're going to hold a grudge for a while. You're not going to want to sit there and talk to him. You're not going to want to see him. And when you are going to see them, you're going to do everything you can, like Russell does, to try and go off to show, like, you know, his dominance and, you know, this is what you're missing out on, Katie. You know, you should have stayed here with us, whatever. Hopefully one day they'll be better because, you know, what I would honestly like to see is Katie come back to Oklahoma City and them try to, you know, build a team so that the NBA is not just Cleveland versus the Warriors. But I don't think – I don't know if that'll happen. Like I said, I hope it does. But I don't think that KD and Russ will ever be okay, I mean, until something like that were to happen.
Great, great point. I mean, like I said, you know, I think I understand exactly where, you know – it's like I said before, I understand where Russell Westbrook is coming from. I think, like Brian said, I think it'll take a long time for them to heal, you know, the wound that's there. So it'll take a while, but I think over time it could happen. I can even envision a scenario where Kevin Durant comes back to the Oklahoma City. I really can. But who's to say when that will happen? I don't know. But, you know, with that being said, guys, I want to also let everybody know they can follow us on Facebook at The Right Way with Blake Wright, on Twitter, The Right Way with DSP, Instagram, The Right Way with DSP. We are constantly taking questions, answering, you know, all the questions that you have. With that being on that note, like I said, you know, this show is produced by Zach Page and Randy Delia, and I want to thank him. We had an awesome. I want to thank Wayne Rivera as well. We also had an awesome promo shoot for The Right Way the other day, and it was just an awesome time. I could pick his brain if you were used that sports Jets fan. So, you know, I want to thank him for, you know, supporting The Right Way and doing that whole promotion for us. We really appreciate you. But with that being said, guys, I mean, I want to switch gears to our last topic on the show, and that is draft preview. I mean, we don't really have too much time to talk about the draft, but I do want to get, you know, since you're all NFL fans and you all have a team, I want to know who do you want your team to draft, starting with Alex.
Who do I want the Rams to draft this year?
Correct.
well, without a first round pick, I could only hope on some long shots here. I mean, I'm a bit biased in this because I am a fan of the University of Southern California as well as the St. Louis Rams or the Los Angeles Rams now. Still not used to that. But since the Rams don't come around till the second round, I'm hoping maybe Adoree Jackson's still there. Because honestly, I watched this man play all year. This man is dynamic on offense, on defense, on special teams. This kid is something special. And he is going to make an impact on whatever team gets in the NFL. He's ready to go number two wide receiver on your team if you want him to play offense. He's ready to go, possibly a fifth D back on a team. I don't know if he's ready to start corner yet, just yet, against some of the league's receivers. Obviously, he can cover certain teams' number two receiver, number three receiver, but he's not ready to cover Julio Jones or Dez Bryant or Odell Beckham. And on special teams, this guy is amazing. I don't know if I've ever seen someone since Devin Hester in the NFL, I haven't seen someone that can return like him. As far as on defense, Jabril Peppers is better than him. But as far as being a return man, he is better than Jabril, and I'm a huge Jabril fan. So if the Rams could get a Dory Jackson, I don't think anything in the world would make me happier. And if not, maybe Juju Smith-Schuster in the second round, third round, something like that. Two guys out of USC who will be great adds, ready to play for whatever team they get on.
As far as the Patriots go, I feel like they have some options. I mean, because Garoppolo, they want to trade Garoppolo for a first rounder, and I know Cleveland has the first and the 12th pick in the draft. So maybe if they get the 12th pick in the draft somehow for trading Jimmy G, I guess we could maybe get Derek Barnett out of Tennessee, because New England desperately needs a pass rusher, and it's pretty clear to see that's the main flaw in defense. And I mean, I don't even like what from Stanford. Holy crap! I just forgot his name. Oh my god.
McCaffrey.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey. But like, he just fits the Patriot. Oh, he's a small white receiver mode. So I mean, he just seems like such
a
Patriot.
I know, but he's.
I feel like he would play receiver in the NFL. There are a lot of running backs who would play receiver in the NFL who are a lot smaller. Because that's what everyone's trying to do is convert him to receiver in the draft. And I know the Patriots would do that. They converted Edelman to wide receiver. So, I mean, why can't they convert a guy like him who can do pretty much anything, who can return kicks, who can probably throw if he wanted to, who can run, who can catch, who can do anything coming out of the backfield. He'd be like a better version of Kevin Falk, maybe. Or like a Danny Woodhead, maybe, if they do decide to put him at receiver, even though we don't really need any more. But, that's just who everyone expects us to get. But I'd rather just go for a pass rusher if we only have one pick in the first round.
All right, Austin, what's your pick? I did a full mock draft for the first round the other day, and I think I had Dalvin Cook, because I'm a Carolina fan, going to Carolina. But if Leonard Fournette stays, which I think he could stay up on the board he'll stay up on the board until Carolina's pick, I'd like to see him at Carolina too, him or Dalvin Cook. Carolina needs a running back. I think that our main problem right now is our running game is awful, and that's partially due to our offensive line, but Jonathan Stewart ain't getting the job done. I think we do need a big name back, somebody else on offense to help us open up the passing game for Cam. And then I think that we need to – I mean, because last year alone – I'm a Carolina fan, and I was extremely upset in the draft last year. I really wish we would have signed back to Josh Norman and not spent 6 or 7 picks on defensive backs. I was pissed every time I saw on my phone, Carolina drafts this DB, this corner. I'm like, come on, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. So I definitely think it's time for Carolina to get somebody. You know, like the last big-name draft pick that we had was Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver from Florida State. So it's time to get a good running back. Jonathan Stewart can be a solid backup. But I think after we draft him, I see us getting an offensive line. Now, that's if Dave Gettleman actually uses his brain and decides to, you know, let's go with the position of need, not just the best person on the board. Because Carolina, we have a team that is – I mean, even though we didn't do as well this year, we are just a few pieces out from going back to a Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl. And I definitely think that getting a running back and trying to build that offensive lineup is – probably the only thing left that we need to really work on, aside from getting another top-name corner.
Okay. Well, quick note, and this is going to be the last thing on the show. Number one, for you, Austin, don't hold your breath. You know, I mean, you can hold your breath, because you guys might be able to re-sign Josh Norman, because we all know he's a free agent after this week. You guys might be able to re-sign him again, and I think that that's a real possibility. Going back to the
Absolutely.
But on note for my team, you know who I want the Bengals draft. Linebacker from Alabama, Reuben Foster, pairing up with Perfect, have the best linebacking core in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that is all that's on the right way. I want to thank Austin, Alex, and Brian all for, you know, being there and talking sports. Nothing like you guys. Once again, you guys can catch us every single Monday night live on Walk Talk Radio at 8 p.m. And like I said, we're always talking sports. Always here to answer your questions. And, you know, next week I'm looking forward to talking more about the Pro Bowl. We're, you know, getting you guys more actually geared up for the Super Bowl. And like I said, you know, we want to thank Randy Zelia and the whole entire Back Sports Page family. This show is produced by Back Sports Page. You can also find our show on iTunes and on the Back Sports Page website. Follow us on Twitter at The Right Way BSP. Follow us on Facebook, The Right Way with Malik Wright. And on Instagram, The Right Way BSP. And like I said, we constantly are trying to get engaged, more and more and more engaged on social media with all of you. And give you questions and answers and, you know, all the whole shenanigan, the whole nine yards. So, guys, it was a great show. Looking forward to being back here next Monday night. And remember, the show will always go on. Have a good night.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kayla's in the building.
Yeah. All right, already the show goes on all night. Every morning we dream so long. Will anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on. All on your soul and put whiskers on your back. They be lying through their teeth. Hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up, I just laugh. Put my kicks up on their desk, unaffected by their threats. Then get busy on their. See, that's how that shutdown made me. That's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold. Don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Don't then put your hands up. When times is hard, you stand up. L U P the man, cause the brand. The fans trust, so even if they ban, let them never slow my plan. For the father that's there, three in the air for the kids in the ghetto, four for the kids that don't want to be there, none for the trying to hold him back, five in the air for the teacher not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that's coming back that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys I'm rapping around the world for. Africa to New York, Haiti then I detour. Oakland out to Oakland, got the strip to Detroit. They hip-hop only destroy. Tell them, look at me, boy. I hope your son don't have a gun and never be a D-boy. No matter what you into, no matter what you see, when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever put them down. You just lift your arms higher, raise them to your arms higher, let them know you there, that you struggling, surviving, that you gon' persevere. Yeah, ain't nobody leaving, nobody going home, even if they turn the lights down, the show is going on. Remember when
coming.